Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my...
All right, this is Doc Mike. I don't know what is going on here. Something happened to my intro and outro. Who cares? We're going to have a good time anyway. Hey, thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. If you're joining live, that's awesome. If you want to join the conversation, come to reallibertymedia.com, get in the chat room, say hello. And there's a lot of good stuff always going on in the chat room. Sorry, guys. You could tell. I just got this going. And it's not very organized. That's okay. We're gonna have... I'm telling you, I have some stuff today. The world is crazy. It literally is just going insane. And it seems like every single day, there's something else that totally like blows my mind. Like, how stupid can we possibly get? But we're working on it. We're trying to like set the record on stupid here. Okay, let's go over a few things like the local stuff. Oh, that's okay, Cowboy Tech. We'll catch you later, for sure. Okay, I tore the meniscus in my left knee. Now, you know, I'd like to make up some crazy story about how I did it, but it's the most mundane, ridiculous thing. I mean, I'm going to have to make up a story eventually to explain what happened, but really, this is what happened. I was literally standing in the yard, and I was thinking about, okay, so I must have not just thought about it. I actually started to take a step forward with my right foot, and something snapped so loud in my left knee, and it hurt like heck, man. I'm not kidding. I was kind of paralyzed for a minute in pain. And anyway, I went about my evening because it was Friday evening. And I ended up going to the ER on Saturday because my primary care wasn't available, which I know you probably think that's weird that I'd be looking for my primary care on Saturday. But usually, like, he used to work every other Saturday. And when he wasn't available, I was like, ah, hell with it. I'll go to the ER, see what's going on. You know, what I need to do with it until I can get to my primary care or get a referral or whatever. Well, so they, you know, did x-rays, which aren't going to show soft tissue as well as like MRI or CT or whatever. But, you know, well, the symptoms and everything pretty much indicated that I tore my meniscus. And I went to work Monday and I got an appointment for Tuesday with the specialist, the surgeon, you know, because that's pretty much the only way to fix it if it's really torn. And he agreed, but they want to do a contrast image, MRI. And guess what? There's a shortage contrast dye. Isn't that awesome? Just my luck. But I don't care. I mean, I'm functioning kind of like walking wounded, so I'll be fine. But I kind of brought that up for this reason. It's like, you know, so we've done all this planning to grow more food. We've kind of been preparing for, you know, anything that's coming our way. You know, just being able to grow your own food, I think, is awesome. Every year, not just years when there could be a shortage of food or whatever. But it's just, I mean, for me, it's a little therapeutic, although I am the least productive vegetable gardener on the property here. I guess I'm more of a facilitator, or I don't know, maybe I'm a cheerleader, but here's what happened. I mean, so now I'm injured and I can still do stuff, but I'm doing it a lot slower. Like, I can't run somewhere and stop something or save somebody. I suppose I could, but my point is, so even no matter how well you plan, things can still go wrong. You know, things are going to come up. Like right now we're in this and I've talked about this for several weeks now, because it just keeps on going. Like, today was such a gorgeous day, and as you know, most of you have been listening a while, I have Wednesdays off now, which is perfect, so I can prepare for the show, which I didn't today. Well, I did, but, you know, like, I usually start an hour ahead of time. Today, I started 15 minutes ahead of time, so I didn't really kind of get to finesse all the audio and listen to my pre-show run, you know, of music that I like to listen to kind of get me in the mood and going. But the point is, you know, I'm moving slower. So, oh, I know, I was getting to the weather. The weather has been just outstanding for gardening. Like, we've had, you know, two or three days of kind of hazy skies, but mostly sunny and warm. Maybe some blue skies in there with some sunshine, and then two or three days of kind of rainy days, and maybe really heavy rainy days, which is awesome because we don't have to water. And, you know, it's not always going to be like that either, because, you know, summertime is coming, and like for years we've had like these horrendous summers of just like straight up, you know, dry heat and fires everywhere and smoke in the valley, and, you know, some of our neighbors' wells run out of water because, you know, the water table goes down so far. Fortunately, that hasn't happened to us, although we did have that problem with the well pump quitting last year in the 106 degree weather, whatever it was. But anyway, that's all taken care of. But anyway, you know, fortunately, we have a lot going on and, you know, have a lot of stuff already done. So that's good. And I'll just have to work slower. That's all there is to it. I mean, I don't have a choice at this point. And I am still going to be working at the clinic because it's not like I'm crippled. It's just painful. And I know some of you know how that chronic pain thing is. That is not fun, man. So Saturday, I pretty much just rested in a recliner and iced my knee. I mean, other than the time I was at the ER, which fortunately wasn't too long. But every day since then, I cannot stay awake all day. I think chronic pain just wears you out. Because it's not like I felt tired. I'll tell you this. Yesterday, I put the ice. It's one of those gel ice packs. It's a big one. It's about 1 foot square. And I put it on my left knee. I know, right? Suck it up, buttercup. Yeah, exactly. I put that ice pack on my left knee, and I put a down blanket over the right side of me. And I just went out cold, so that ice pack was on there for an hour or two. I don't know how long I slept. It was a while though. And yeah, I think it's just exhausting kind of pain just wears you out. And so I've been getting some naps in like every single day, whether I wanted to or not. They just kind of come on, and I have to sleep it off. Hang on. Toasty warm drink here. Yeah, rub some dirt in it. You'll be fine. That's an old saying. Let's see. Oh, I got to tell you guys this. I got to find these notes. They're here somewhere. I'm not kidding. You know, sometimes, okay, so for most of the people who listen to my show, this is not only a daily occurrence. It's pretty much a every time you look at the news occurrence. But there's some times that are so uniquely stupid that you don't even have to read the story, and you can already kind of outline just exactly how stupid this idea is. Well, I had one of those headlines cross my email, and it was from the Ag Paper, appropriately from the Ag Paper. Let me find it here. Oh yeah, this is beautiful. So I'm gonna bring up the I want to bring up the actual article because I just want to read it to you so you can have the same reaction or whatever reaction that I had. Okay, this is from AP News, but Capital Press just got it from AP News, okay? Here's the title. California plan would pay farmers to grow less to save water. Okay, now, does that make sense to anybody? Okay, so especially at this particular time of our history here in the United States, like the greatest, whatever label you want to put on it, let's say possibly the greatest shortage of food in our existence, well, since we've been keeping records or whatever, is probably headed our way. Like I keep hearing day after day that by winter of this year, we're all going to know, we're all going to feel the effects of the shortages that are coming our way. And some places already sense some of the shortages, some of the food shortages. Some places have shelves that don't have as much variety or as many items as they normally carry. But California is like, wow, you know, good God Almighty. California is like, you know what we need to do right now? We need to grow less food. We just can't afford to grow any more food right now. Like, so, you know, if you're kind of thinking that this administration absolutely wants to abandon everybody, I'm kind of getting there. Like, I'm kind of thinking, this is my new philosophy or theory on what's going on. And I'll get back to California in a minute. But it seems like the current administration is just alienating everybody. They're just like, yeah, screw it. We don't care if you don't have baby formula. We don't care if we pay $10 a gallon for gas. You might as well get used to it because, you know, electric vehicles are better. Oh, by the way, another side note. So I happened to catch a story today that they test flew a 4-passenger electric helicopter, basically. It's kind of like a drone. And they were bragging about how successful this was. This is how successful it was. It can fly for 60 minutes or 60 miles. I think 60 miles at 155 miles an hour. I don't honestly know very many people who are going to opt for a, you know, drone to fly them 60 miles. As a matter of fact, I used to have this rule that anywhere I was going, if it was like under 8 hours driving, I would probably drive versus fly because, well, for me, it's a 2-hour trip to the airport. Well, an hour plus, you know, another hour in case something happens and any of the major arterials get into the, you know, international airport. And then, of course, 1 or 2 hours in, security, going through security, hour waiting for the frickin' plane, an hour or two flight. Well, if it was under 8 hours, it'd be an hour flight. And then, you know, an hour waiting for your luggage if you didn't carry it on. And, you know, get in the car. Anyway, all that stuff is like, oh, if it's less than 8 hours away, I'm driving. Because number one, I like driving. And number two, I freaking hate airports, like with a passion. Only travel when either I absolutely have to or we really, really, really need a vacation. And like Wisconsin, we're even thinking about flying, we were actually thinking about driving to Wisconsin this year because we could probably do it in 4 days. If I take 2 weeks off, you know, 4 days out, 4 days back, that's 1 week and a week there. You know, it'd probably work out pretty dang good, and we'd get to sightsee along the way, and it'd be enjoyable, and I could avoid the airport and all that stuff. So anyway, I know the naysayers are going to say, well, you know, when automobiles were first available, they only went, 15 miles an hour, and, they could only go, a couple miles, and there were no blah, blah, blah. Okay, I get it. But Jesus, like, we've been working on this electric vehicle stuff for a long time, and this is the best we can do. 60-mile flight radius. I guess it'd be good for, city people who want to just go from building to building or something. I don't know. But this doesn't sound like that great of a deal to me. Okay, so where was I? How did I get to that? Oh, yeah, because gas prices are getting to be ridiculous, and this is what California actually wants to do. They actually want to buy the water rights from the farmers, okay? Because whatever, I don't know how California has done this, but apparently some bureau was created and they sold water rights, and some of the farmers have water rights that the state can't even afford to buy, supposedly. Which, you know what that means, the state will end up just taking it eventually. But yeah, their whole bright idea is, we need the water for people to drink. So we're going to cut off the farmers, which California, I talk a lot of crap about California because they suck. Like, they're completely ridiculous, but the farmers, man, they farm and they produce some food. I'm not going to say that they use the greatest methods, the healthiest methods, but they produce a lot of food. Like, not for just California, all over the country, you shop for produce, you're going to find some items from California, I'm sure. So yeah, at this time when we have, a threat of a shortage of all kinds of food, rice, wheat, almonds, figs, dates, olives, potatoes, carrot, every imaginable crop. That's probably not true, but the ton of crops come out of California. And the genius idea right now is to take away the water rights of the farmers, which, really, who knows? Maybe the farmers will be like, yeah, good. I'm taking the money and getting out of here. Because for, year after year after year, California faces drought and faces limited water supply. So, if I was a farmer, I'd go look for somewhere that doesn't have to get their water from other states, basically, find some land that literally has water on it that you can just use without the state getting involved, although those days will eventually come to an end. A town 45 miles away from me here, it's illegal to collect rainwater. Now, I don't know if somebody's actually challenged that or not. I don't think it would be that hard to challenge. I would just say, okay, city, we're going to court. I'm going to sue you because you say I can't collect rainwater. I just want you to identify which molecules of water are yours so I don't collect those. I'll just collect the ones that aren't yours. And, you have to, tell me how to identify your water. But I don't know that anybody's bothered to challenge it because I don't know how seriously they enforce it, but eventually, I know there's some states where county, who knows, political officials have said, okay, we're going to put meters on your well pump because the groundwater is ours. Luckily, we haven't had that happen here. But it wouldn't surprise me, one day we're going to be facing that, because, municipalities, counties, everybody, they all, You know, they all overspend what they collect. And, yeah, well, they spend beyond what they plan to collect. So then they got to find more things to tax. And, you know, eventually it comes down to air and water. So, you know, they'll get it eventually. They already start taxing water, you know, bottled water like crazy. Let's see what else I had in that little tidbit. I don't want to miss anything because, this is a funny thing. So I pretty much wrote this article without even reading the article. I just reacted to the headline. And then sure enough, when I read the article, I was like, exactly what I thought. So let's go ahead and see what I said here. The lawmakers in Cali want to buy the water rights of farmers to conserve water. This is taxpayer money being used to buy back water rights that the state probably somewhere in the past had sold to the farmers. Okay, farmers own water rights to grow food. Farmers need water to grow food. California has great fertile soil in some areas, but lack enough water to grow the maximum amount of food possible. Water is provided to parts of Cali from other states, like the Klamath Basin here in Oregon. You see where this is going, right? If Cali buys the water rights, farmers no longer will farm. Less food will be produced. Okay, no food will be produced. What retard thinks removing food from the market at this time with food shortages already not only looming, but here now? Leave it to California and their lawmakers to figure out a way to make inflation and the oncoming recession worse. And then I say, okay, I'll go ahead and read the story. So then I read the story, including a separate state proposal that would pay farmers to grow fewer crops to save water. I mean, they literally just come out and say it. Yeah, we're going to pay farmers. Hey, Californians who are already, you know, not getting all the food that they're used to getting, we're going to go ahead and ratchet that back a little bit because we don't have enough water for everybody, and we're tired of trying to negotiate this water thing every single year or however often they do it. So we're just going to go ahead and buy up the water rights of these farmers so we have water for L.A., San Diego, San Francisco, Sacramento. What other big municipalities am I missing out on? Oh, Oakland, you know, I don't know. There's a few big cities in California. But, you know, I've actually heard, that's no kidding, I agree, Rob Works, 100%. But I've heard that California is the one state that has the greatest mass exodus right now, like over the past year or so. And no big surprise to me at all. I mean, fortunately, okay, I don't know if you guys even know this about me. I was born in Oregon, but my mom remarried when I was really young, a year or two years old, something like that. And they moved to California. They took me with them. I don't remember, but I think they did. And then at the age of 13, we moved back to Oregon. So I spent 10, 11 years in California. And the reason we left California is because it was freaking stupid. Right? It was like, I don't know, my parents just saw stuff going on in California that they were like, no, we're not staying here. We're leaving this state. It's stupid. Thank God that I had parents that actually recognized that instead of sticking it out there for crying out loud. Exactly. I'm being made fun of in the chat, which is actually kind of hilarious. Did you get the kid? No, I thought you had him. Hey, the funny thing is, Rob Works, my mom, every single year on Christmas, would wish me a happy birthday, and she would always kind of follow it up with, you know, I put you back under the tree every year to see if Santa would take you back. So, you know, I'm actually a little bit surprised I made it to California. But anyway, yeah. And then Oregon, and back in the day, this is really hard to believe. If I hadn't lived through this myself, I wouldn't believe it. But back in those days, when we moved back to Oregon, Oregon was having this deal with Californians, like, hey, Oregon's a great place to visit, but don't plan on moving here, you know, or enjoy your visit, you know, you're not going to stay, because everybody knew what would happen when the Californians moved to Oregon. Well, guess what happened? Because Californians would leave California and come to Oregon, and they brought their same stupid political agenda with them and just turned Oregon into a magnified California. Although, it's kind of a toss-up. I actually heard somebody the other day said, oh yeah, Portland's way worse than San Francisco. And I was like, oh, that's a stretch. It's hard to get there. But apparently Portland has done it. I don't know who said it. I'm making it up. It's gossip. It could be. Hang on, drink. Let's see what I got out of that article. Oh, this was another little side note. I said after that comment that they were going to pay farmers to grow fewer crops to save water. I said they actually are aware their plan would lessen food supplies. You see, this is why we need to quit electing idiots to lawmaking positions. And then I was thinking back, remembering 200 years ago, just kidding. But you know, back in the day, people were hired to these elected to these offices, and they would come in from their farms for a couple of days and take care of business, and they'd go back to work. You know, people we elect today, they get elected just to make laws. I mean, they don't have, look at Biden. I don't know that he's ever had another job in his life. I mean, he'll tell you he's had a bajillion jobs, driven truck and who knows what else. But nobody can actually verify that he's never had like a real job. He's never had a job. Oh, by the way, the kid's got a new car today. You might have heard that horn honking. And there's going to be probably a lot of racket because they just pulled in the driveway. So there might be a bit of some noise going on. I have the windows open because it's so beautiful. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it used to be we hired people from the community. We elected people from the community to go represent people from the community and, like, fix things or, you know, whatever they did. I mean, it wasn't like today where people go to these elected offices and they take bribes from everybody or what do you call it? What do you call those people that... give them money, you know, like pharmaceutical companies give them money, oil companies give them money, everybody gives them money to, you know, like rig the laws in their favor, basically. And, man, so they just go to town. I mean, how do you get a group of people to sit together in a room and go, you know what we need right now? We need less food. There's too much food being grown. So let's take the water away from the farmers. I think that's a good idea. I mean, I don't know what. So California must get so much money from their tech companies that they don't really need all that farming income anymore. That's obvious. I mean, that could be the very truth. I mean, the tech companies are pretty rich, and they probably got some sweet deals there in California. So getting back to what I was going to say about 20 minutes ago, if you think that the current administration is actually trying to alienate everybody, which is what I was getting to, is I really think that they are. This is my theory, and we're going to see if it plays out over the next 6 months. Wait, what is this, June? 5 months. So in the next 5 months, we'll know whether this is true or not. This is what I think is going to happen. I think they are completely trying to alienate everybody because they are going to sweep the midterm elections. You're not going to hear that from anybody else. Maybe one other person, and not on the internet. I mentioned this to one other person, and they were like, oh yeah, I was thinking that too. And I was like, really? Oh my God, it's out there. It's out there in the ionosphere. I think they are gonna win all the seats they need to win to stay in power. And this is why they're alienating everybody. Because the point is going to be that we don't care how any of you voted. Do you see it doesn't matter? You know, time and time again, you hear that one party or another isn't going to relinquish power. You know, every time the conservatives get in the office, you hear this argument that, oh, they're going to call off the elections and declare a national emergency and we're not going to be able to vote. Well, they're just going to go ahead and have the vote. And mainstream media and the tech companies, the social media outlets, they're all just going to manipulate the election. You know, there's not going to be any change except maybe probably conservative Republicans and maybe some independents will lose their seats. And everybody will know for a fact that it's over. It's over. They're going to keep driving their agenda. They're not going to give it up because, you know, they have the best agenda for the planet. Yeah, no kidding. You know something else that really kind of blew me away? I got to find this article. Let me find it real quick. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, get ready for this because this is kind of crazy. Because even today, I was listening to somebody, you know, I only like and have time to listen to certain people. And I only have so much time to listen to other people. But I was listening to somebody who was talking about how the vaccine, you know, that they've been pushing on everybody and still are pushing on everybody and, you know, are still claiming that it's so safe and so it provides so much protection, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, this person was saying, oh, it's meant to depopulate the planet and it's kicking in already. They already got rid of a few million. They're going to just keep working it. It's going to keep killing people. And, you know, that's the intention. Okay. Well, Bill and Melinda Gates actually funded a study that shows that many countries are already in decline, population collapse. So this says population collapse is coming. It is already occurring in multiple countries. Sort of weird that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funded this research and actually let the information out of the bag, since Bill's apparent desire is to eliminate a large portion of the population. He got a mediocre start by releasing an mRNA platform on most of the world. Good start, Bill, and I know you have got more coming, you know, avian flu, monkeypox, virology studies to enhance different viruses' abilities to adhere and penetrate mammalian respiratory cells. Was that all for naught? Demographers warn of impending population collapse. Amid the deluge of dire predictions that the human population will rise exponentially, deplete the Earth's resources, and overheat the planet, two recent demographic studies predict the opposite, that the number of people will peak within the next several decades and then begin a phase of steady, irreversible decline. The United Nations has predicted that humanity will continue, that you know what they predict, that it'll continue to grow and we have too many people and we're draining the Earth of resources and blah, blah, blah. However, a demographic study funded by the Gates Foundation and published in The Lancet, a medical journal, paints a much different picture. This study, conducted by researchers at the University of Washington, predicts that the global human population will peak at 9.7 billion within several decades and then start to decline. Once global population decline begins, the author writes, it will probably continue inexorably. Driving the population collapse is what Bricker and Libetson call the fertility trap. For a country to sustain its population, women must have an average of birth rate of 2.1 children. Once a country's fertility rate falls below 2.1, it never comes back. 2020, the U.S. fertility rate was 1.6, the lowest rate in America's history, and a sharp decline from 3.7 in 1960. Russia's fertility rate is 1.6. Deaths substantially outnumber births in Russia today, and it is predicted to lose up to one-third of its population by 2050. While a future with fewer people may have environmental benefits, one demographic problem is that, as humanity shrinks, the composition of society changes dramatically. Longevity is a key factor slowing the population collapse. The average human lifespan has increased from 51 years in 1960 to 73 years today. The Lancet predicts by the century's end there will be 2.4 billion people older than 65, compared with only 1.7 billion under the age of 20. The median age worldwide has gone up from 22 years in 1960 to 30 years today, and is projected to increase to 41 years by 2100. So just think about this. So, like, you know, they kind of had to break out this vaccine to kill a bunch of old people, you know, and it was perfectly planned, by the way, because we don't have enough young people working out there to pay taxes, to pay for the old people's Medicaid and Medicare and whatever, or healthcare and whatever. So if you just knock them off, you know, kill them, then you don't have those costs. And I think it's really kind of a futile attempt to correct what's going on with the decrease in the population, because nobody, people aren't, you know, we're not replacing ourselves. Women aren't having 2.1 children. In several countries, we've already dipped below the 2.1 that's needed to keep the population growing at a healthy rate. Yeah. If you gave so this was interesting. So it says if you gave all the people on Earth right now, 8 billion people, a 4-foot by 4-foot square to stand in, the whole population of the world would fit into the tiny state of Connecticut. There is plenty of room to spare for 11 billion people. It's not space we should worry about, it's politics. And that was not an official statement. It was a comment by a user, and I'd heard that before. I actually thought it was Rhode Island, but who cares? I mean, if you take the whole globe and look at the state of Connecticut and imagine every human being could fit in a 16-square-foot space in Connecticut. Crazy. And, you know, for those of you fly over, you know, this country and other parts of the world, there's a hell of a lot of wasted space out there. You know, you fly across the country, that's what they call the flyover states. It's like they don't ever land there, and when you fly over, you don't see any huge population of people. Well, I think you could do the math. You could do the math on this and figure it out for yourself. There's plenty of, I mean, you just take 8 billion times however many square feet, and then figure out the square footage of Connecticut and see if that's true. I think it's pretty simple. I won't do it on there here, but I think it's pretty simple. Let's see what else. So I had to have some other entertaining story to talk about. There's got to be something. What is this one? Oh, the other thing that I immediately thought, yeah, that's true. That is true. Lakes aren't livable. But there's a lot of land mass. There really is. I mean, seriously, you know, there's concentrations of people in the big cities, but But outside of that, there's a ton of room. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is there's a mass hysteria. No, a mass psychosis hypnosis starting tomorrow afternoon. And this is the most important thing that we have to worry about right now, and that's why it's going to be in prime time starting tomorrow. We're going to get to see the criminals behind the insurrection on January 6th, because it was so terrible, damn near overthrew the government on January 6th, although nobody had any guns or tanks or missiles or armored, you know, shields or body armor or helmets or organization or even radios. Yeah, this insurrection on January 6th, we're gonna get the brainwashing starting tomorrow. And the funny thing is, I mean, nobody cares. There's gonna be some people on the left that'll care. Here's the thing about the mainstream media right now, and because the mainstream media is owned by very few companies, and the tech companies are owned by very few companies. Just think about this, because I always wondered how come local news doesn't do more like local stories, like more local interest, and, you know, like represent what the local population is thinking, and here's why. So let's say you're a little local news startup, you know, not that anybody would do that today, but, you know, 20 years ago, let's say you decided, oh, I'm going to start my own news company, we're going to be on TV. And you start looking around for advertisers, and the advertisers are like, oh, we'd love to buy time on your news program because, you know, all these old people sit down and catch the news every night, and yeah, we can sell them some products. You're like, awesome. So you got all these, you know, advertisers buying space on your news program. And then January 6th happens, and you're like, yeah, that was ridiculous. Who would call that an insurrection? And all of a sudden, the companies that own your company, the companies that own your station, own your equipment, own all of your advertisers, they tell their advertisers, you know, they're like, hey, this probably isn't a good investment. You're going to want to be advertising somewhere else. And then all your advertisers leave, and, you know, that's the only money you actually have coming in, because nobody pays to listen to the local news. You know, it's free, it's broadcast, so you can pick it up on an antenna, so there's no charge for it necessarily. Yeah, your advertisers all leave, and I mean, if you're lucky enough to have, you know, some advertisers stay, it's, you know, it's not enough to keep the business going, more than likely. So yeah, everybody capitulates. So that's what you're going to get from, I don't even know if it's more than one night. I guess at least four. I don't dare click on that while I'm... Oh my God. Okay, I didn't even click on it, but it was freaking hilarious. Hang on. Okay. Yeah, so the mass hypnosis will start tomorrow. Everybody will be totally convinced how horrible this insurrection was, and how Nancy Pelosi feared for her life, and how, what's her name was that? AOC's name? Yeah, AOC was terrified, shivering in her boots when she wasn't even there. Because the election's coming up, the midterms, and if you believe that there's going to be a landslide, I mean, you know, I don't buy it. I think it's all a bunch of hype, a bunch of psyop talk, a bunch of, you know, I don't know, predictive programming, get everybody, you know, excited that the world's going to change in November when all these seats change. Nothing's going to change. Nothing changed between, well, that's not true. A lot of stuff changed between, you know, 2020 and 2021. But really, it's not like we took care of business before this administration got in. They were doing the same thing, passing the same laws. You know, did you see this, the testifying on Capitol Hill today by supposed victims of the Uvalde school shooting? I'm not going to get into conspiracy theory. I just find it very hard to believe that 15 days after 20 kids were shot to death, that they fly all of these people into D.C. to testify about the event. Come on, man. Like, they haven't even buried all those kids yet, have they? And don't you think you would want to give these families some time to grieve? Like, really be alone or with their family members and grieve? No, what you really want to do is bring them to D.C. and parade them around. I mean, some of the testimony, okay, I'm going to give you something that really bothered me about the testimony I heard. You tell me if I'm wrong about this. Okay, I don't know if all of you have ever shot a .223. Basically, a .223 is the round that's generally fired from an AR-15. Okay, how should I say that properly? AR-15s, I think, were originally designed to shoot .223 ammo. I think you can get all kinds of calibers in the .223 style now. But here's what happened. So when that shooting occurred, somebody immediately got on TV and started talking about how this kid bought a weapon whose bullets were made to enter the body and then explode like dynamite and blow the bodies to pieces, okay? That's just one thing I heard the days, 1 or 2 days following the shooting. Well, may or may not be true, but here's the problem. There was a school teacher in the room, in a room, who was shot several times. If that weapon had some kind of exploding munitions, why aren't some of his body parts missing? Right? Rob Works, right? Exactly right. That is a high velocity round, man. It is one of the best rounds ever created. It's probably my absolute favorite single shot round. No kidding. Only because I've never shot a 50, I'm sure. But here's the other, that teacher was shot multiple times. And he's telling his story 15 days later. Apparently no body parts were blown off. Apparently the bullets didn't enter his body and explode and blow him to pieces. But then guess what happened? They bring on the, not mortician, what do they call those guys? The forensic people. Yeah, they bring that guy on. And he says that he had kids, you know, he had kids that were decapitated. He had kids whose bodies were mangled so horribly that they couldn't be recognized. Okay, maybe. Maybe. I've seen a .223 round do some horrendous damage. But how can you have those two things? Dude is shot multiple times by the same weapon, probably the same ammo. Yeah, he's probably a bigger guy. I get that. I get the whole energy transfer thing. But it doesn't make sense that you have the coroner saying, you know, kind of getting up and hyping this bullet like it's some fascinating bullet. But you have a teacher who was shot several times, and he's there giving testimony 15 days after the event, and he's not blown to pieces. You know, what happened there was horrible. Yeah, I get that. But But that to parade these people 15 days, why couldn't you wait a month? Why couldn't you wait 2 months? Why didn't you wait until maybe October and bring them back and have this whole testimony so you could fire up emotionally all of the people you want to get fired up? It's strange to me, man. I can tell you this. I almost said, and this happened in my life. This did sort of happen in my life. My daughters were at Thurston High School in Oregon when Kip Kinkle went in and started shooting people. I had two daughters in that high school at that time. I can tell you, if my daughters would have been killed, I'm not talking to you 15 days later. I'm not coming to Washington, D.C. 15 days later. Mainly because I know you idiots don't do anything. Hell, you don't even understand what the hell you're talking about 90% of the time when it comes to firearms. You look like absolute idiots, and then of course you have bodyguards to escort you to work and back and keep you safe throughout the day and night. Because guns are so bad. I don't know. Stuff doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, I'm cold-hearted, right? I don't care about the children, right? Because this doesn't make sense to me. Can you imagine? So, out of the 19 families, well, I think 21 people died altogether. But 19 children or so. So 19. So did all of those families get flown to Washington, D.C. to give their testimony, or was it a hand-picked bunch? I mean, hell. Exactly. I do want to know what happened and why things don't add up. Like, there's a lot of questions there. Oh, boy. A lot of questions. What did I actually bring up that got me going on that rant? Oh, good. We can end with this. This is a beauty. This goes in my, my fantasy. Your fantasy is not my reality, Ben. This is from The Blaze. The Wisconsin school district that opened a Title IX investigation against three middle school boys accused of sexual harassment for using the wrong pronouns with another student has closed the case. The district said that by refusing to use the student's preferred pronouns, the boys had sexually harassed their classmate under the Biden administration's interpretation of Title IX rules. The group sent a letter to the district in May arguing that the school had violated the boys' First Amendment rights and that the use of biologically correct pronouns does not constitute sexual harassment under Title IX or school policy. In a June 2nd follow-up letter, attorneys for the parents maintained that a Title IX investigation was inappropriate and that the case should be dismissed. Hours later, the district announced the matter had been closed, a release from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty said. While the district statement attempts to reframe the investigation, it was always primarily about mispronouncing. The district may not be willing to admit that publicly, but it has recognized that it has no legal basis to demand that our clients refrain from mispronouncing other students. Mispronouncing. Oh my God, please arrest me for mispronouncing. Oh, you guys. Yeah. Crazy world. Thank God, man, that there's some lawyers who can step up and take on some of these absolutely moronic things. But that's what's important in our schools. Remember this. Not important that you learn to read. It's not important that you learn to write. It's not important that you learn to do math. It's important that you don't mispronounce somebody. Good Lord. Fun times. All right. Oh, good grief, you guys. Okay. Let's see. Did I actually have show notes for tonight? Let's just look and see. What's today? Today is the 8th. Nope. I didn't. Yeah, man. You must perfect your twerk. God dang it, man. Well, I don't think I have anything else. I probably have a few minutes left. Let's talk about something else fun. What else could we talk about that's fun? The pellet gun. Okay, the gelet gun that I have. That thing is a riot, man. I don't know if I've kind of said before. It's shoots gelets, what are these liquid-filled pellets, right? It's impossible to hurt something with it. I mean, it has enough oomph to get these pellets out about maybe 100 feet, which is not very far. And you can put it on full auto, like not to be confused with full semi-auto. You know, another one of our genius people said. But you can put it on full auto, and I chase the chickens out of the yard with it. I chase the cats out of the yard with it. I mean, the pellets, when they hit something, they just fall apart. They're filled with water, and they just fall apart. And they don't hurt. I mean, you can shoot yourself a point-blank range, which I don't recommend because it's bad practice. But, yeah, it's harmless. But it is funner than hell. Like, every time I get that thing out, I start laughing like crazy just because it's fun. So, have some fun, man. Whatever it is you're doing, you know, I hope you're having fun doing it. I'm certainly going to continue to have fun till the last possible minute. By the way, the GoPro. Hey, if you want to see something fun and hear me sound like a complete idiot, go to BitChute and watch the short little video I have of Pebbles, the Bengal cat, welcoming me home and me talking to her like she's my little baby, because she is. And remember, Ruby, the golden retriever, arrives here. Actually, we're going to go get her on Sunday. Oh, and by the way, I'm working Saturday. So hopefully I get home and get set up in time to have a great show on Saturday. Thanks, you guys, for joining me. I will see you Wednesday or Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, always ready to go one way or another. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you later. Let's see if I have an outtake.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops. Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events